You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Today's show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Okay, well, you guys are seeing and hearing this a little bit later, but we just finished watching USA versus Wales. And them Wells weren't as dusty as I kept yelling they would be, bro.
A lot to discuss. Oh, welcome to the Cooligans World Cup.
Yeah, that's right. You're Christian Polanco and I'm Alexis Guerrero.
The Cooligans World Cup Daily. There's a lot of new listeners. We have to let people know what's going on.
I'm Alexis. If you happen to be hanging out with us in Atlanta at Park Tavern and now you're listening, well, how y'all doing?
Okay.
So, dude, two dudes came up to me and they're like, man, y'all crazy. I've never heard y'all before.
Dude.
And I was like, well, you know, is your horse double parked, buddy? Buckaroo.
I guess it's similar to the way, maybe the English are more used to this, but, you know, you travel an hour on the train and everybody sounds different than you. You know what I mean?
You know, in England, they got some wild, like, normally we wouldn't know the difference in accents, but after having visited Liverpool, we understand the wide range of English accents.
All of a sudden, we're extinguished linguists.
Well, I know Shakespeare ain't from up here, bro.
But no, we are in Atlanta. Shout out to World Soccer Shop for having us host a watch party for U.S. against Wales.
Currently just to WorldSoccerShop.com. Show them some respect. WorldSoccerShop.com.
What is that? A poetry jam.
Yeah, dude. You know where that comes from?
Poetry.
But you know why?
Because it's too loud to clap. It's like rude.
No. It's not. It's rude. Beatniks would be reading poetry in like the Bleecker Street area, right? And they would clap. But everyone who lived in Bleecker Street area were immigrants. They were like German and Polish immigrants.
Yeah.
And they would get awoken. They would get woken up by the clapping. So they would go down and beat the crap out of all these skinny beatniks. So they started doing this so they wouldn't get beat up by the Polish and German immigrants who were working the factories who wanted to sleep.
Oh, what? The Poles and German immigrants aren't moved by some of the poetry we're hearing?
Imagine getting beat up and then imagine you beat somebody up and then they write a haiku about you, bro. You're like, damn, bro, I gotta someone help me write a damn haiku, bro. I gotta clap back.
I mean, I'm gonna say that
I gotta snap back.
You get beat up, you become a pretty creative person.
You know what? It does. It's all of a sudden you learn how to channel your energy in different ways.
Speaking of
getting beat up, that was the USA second half. Am I right, everyone?
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
Bro, what were you watching? Why did we stop playing out of the back?
Bro, have you ever played in the World Cup?
Of course.
Okay. So have I. So
yeah. All right, so just 2 years. Converse it. This is why you tune in.
But this is how, you know,
new Southern fans.
Podcasts are now hosted by like a lot of athletes. So they can talk like that.
Remember when it was just us? Remember those guys? Remember that?
Now they're getting into our space.
Damn, bro. You don't see me out there playing keepy uppy.
No, man, there's a psychological component to big matches.
I think so. Yunus Musa shook. We didn't hear about him all game. How many times did you see how many times did you see him take on a defender 1v1?
That's not what he does. He never does that.
Bro, how many times did you see him get behind the line?
He never does that either.
What does he do then?
He holds the ball.
But why would you do that on the wing? That's not your job on the wing.
He's not a wing. He's not a wing. He's a midfielder. He's playing on the left side.
On the left side. How many times?
That's not the wing.
We go wide, bro. Do something.
Pulisic is a winger,
bro.
Way is a winger.
Yeah, but how many? Yo, you see they swap in spots. How many times was Musa out there doing nada?
So look, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna be too harsh on any of the U.S. players because I think they
and it's Wales.
I think they did a good job. Wales, the problem. Wales.
Unless you play this game at SeaWorld, bro. They can't possibly have an advantage.
All right, please. No more of those jokes. We don't need them. The Wales is they went into that game.
It's my whale sound.
They went into that game with no interest in playing straight up. They knew they were the weaker team. They knew they had to defend.
So then when we were up 1-0, why wouldn't we just play keep the ball? Why did we stop playing out of the back? Why did we start all of a sudden going long, playing their game, giving them space to counterattack?
Bro, this guy doesn't know ball. Sorry, everybody. I apologize for my co-host.
You tell us. You tell us what we did in the second half.
Wales was playing. They played so defensive. What did Wales really do? They didn't really create.
I'm not talking about that. Why did we start going long? Why did we start going route one? Why did we stop playing out of the back?
What are you talking about? It wasn't simply going long. As soon as Haji Wright,
I'm specifically talking.
There
about
were moments that it happened. Yeah,
no,
but
there were moments.
Players,
they were
large swaths
where we were not getting pressed. We had players open, and all of a sudden we started going long for no reason.
What do you mean for no reason? You don't think people get tired? You don't think people get tired?
What are you talking about? When we have possession, how are we tired? It's more tiring to chase after these long balls when they're all 4 feet taller than us.
No, well, when you're getting the ball to fresh players, the substitutes that came into the game, it isn't more tiring to do that.
Bro, yeah, I mean, we brought in Brendan Aaronson, the guy's 5'9", and we're trying to go long. It makes no sense.
They were going long to Haji Wright, who had about three long balls that he controlled and passed it off. And it led to...
You know what else Haji Wright can do? Get a pass in space.
Bro, this is... Okay.
Bro, we saw.
I get that.
It's
frustrating.
Played shook in the second half. We played shook.
No, we did.
We absolutely, bro. I don't know what you were watching.
No,
yo, the second half they might as well have played yakety sacks over it. We were barely making passes. We're barely connecting passes.
People are gonna shut off this podcast,
bro. It was embarrassing.
What game were you watching?
You and I literally called the exact same game. I don't know what you were watching that was different.
They were not shook. They still created chances in the second half.
No.
But Wales was playing more aggressive than they were in the first half. What can you give any credit to Wales at all?
I haven't even started talking about Wales yet. They made one change. They took out the tiny dude Dan James and they brought in that monster Kiefer, which clearly said to me, oh, they're gonna try to win on a set piece. They're gonna try to win on the corners, they're gonna try
and
to win
they
on
did not
balls.
And they
no,
did not.
They did not. In fact, they started playing much better on set pieces and dead balls, but they certainly didn't control. It was our mistake that led to their goal. It was nothing more. It was a penalty. It is what it is. Those you give and you take. There was also a header that, you know, Matt Turner had to stand on his head to save. So shouts to Matt Turner, who I think was my man of the game, man of the match. I don't know who you pick on the U.S. team.
I mean, they mentioned this on the broadcast, and they said Tyler Adams,
Adams played incredibly
well. Yeah, I mean, we would have given up probably one or two goals if it wasn't for him stopping plays and stopping buildup. So I think he was the best player. But
Weston McKennie pulled up a little bit, and his injury seems to be reignited or something, or maybe something different. That completely changed the tenor of the match. He wasn't as aggressive in the midfield. He wasn't able to do
that.
That is true.
That is true.
Wow, look at you giving me credit for something I said.
Well, I mean, it was obvious. He was clearly something had happened.
But
that
changes the way we were able to play. So for me, that's when Wales got a little bit more confident, but we still had control in a way that we just couldn't get back in the second half, at least not for the swaths of time that we had it in the first half. And yes, I agree with you. Wales played more aggressively, but who gives a shit, man? You never heard of half these players, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it doesn't matter if you give a shit or not give a shit.
Bro,
they did what they did.
And by the way, we should be advanced to the point, because Mexico does this, we should be advanced to the point that when we lose momentum and when those finals that we've played against Mexico, they were large periods where we lost momentum, where we're asking our defenders to bend but not break, or we're asking our forwards to defend. There's moments where, even against Mexico, we're able to use that against them. We're able to counterpunch. We're able to use their momentum against them, and we just weren't able to do that. And part of me thinks it was the moment. Part of me thinks they were shook. Christian Pulisic, I don't think, brought his A game. And by the way,
got the assist on
that
goal.
No. Listen, there were incredible moments. I'm not going to do that, but I'm not going to take that away from them. But there were moments where I'm like, I'm expecting a little more. I'm expecting a little more. Brendan Aaronson, to me, looked the most solid when he came in. To me, he looked the most confident throughout of anyone really besides Tim Ream. Tim Ream was And I'm sitting here. The first thought I had when I saw that he was in the starting lineup, I'm like, dog, these guys are gonna counter. We're gonna bring in a grandpa. Abuelito's gonna be out here with the man bun. But yo, he had a calming force across the back line that I thought was incredible.
I agree. So I thought you know, we haven't seen Walker Zimmerman and Tim Ream play together much, but we have seen Tim Ream and Anthony Robinson play together very often.
Yes.
So I understood that decision. I think it was the right decision.
Anthony also played really well.
They played really well. I thought, I thought exhaustion probably caught up to them in the second half.
It's ridiculous for me to hear that because it's the first game.
But same thing.
I get it. Wales, but it's the first game.
It happens to everybody.
Wales were chasing the ball, so they're supposed to be tired.
Walker Zimmerman, a little too aggressive on a ball he probably shouldn't have been too aggressive on. That led to that penalty. But
Pulisic had two very bad corners, a bad free kick.
Yeah, they weren't their sharpest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But to say that you expect more, especially when you saw them play in the two friendlies before the World Cup.
I don't care about that. It's the World
Cup.
It's
not about caring, but you can see there's a pattern.
I'm not grading that because it's the World Cup.
I didn't expect them to be sharp.
England looked like dog shit up until the last match, and they came in. I mean, again, it's against Iran, but they came in all guns blazing.
But we know the quality of those players. Right. But to see the U.S., you know, they weren't sharp in the match against Saudi Arabia. They weren't sharp against Japan. I did not expect any sharpness, and they were sharper than I even expected. They were especially
so maybe
in
that's
that
the difference. I had a high level of expectation. You had such a low level of expectation. Yeah, and maybe that just comes from you working with me for so long. You know
that first half, I was like, yo, we're the better team. The U.S. should win this game. Wales did not deserve a point in that game. That is my true feeling. That one mistake from Walker Zimmerman, that you know, fouling Bale, diving for a ball he probably didn't need to dive for.
I will also say that the two very quick yellow cards we received at the beginning of the match,
yeah, dude,
sort of reset the aggression that we were able to have. Well, because that was just, I don't want to say he's a terrible ref, but all of you just thought it. that was absolutely, what a weird way to call a match.
So this was an interesting thing. People were pointing this out. Somebody DM'd me, and I apologize. I can't remember who it was. But somebody that pointed out that the ref was Qatari, and that the U.S. is like investigating things from, like, you know, in from Qatar or whatever.
I mean,
and there was a little. So as soon as that, you know, Serginho Dest got a yellow in the sixth, seventh
Weston
minute.
McKennie got one right after. Tyler Adams is the one. Weston, he didn't give
yeah.
Well, I thought he was going to give him a yellow right away.
So it felt a little bit like, yeah, why is this ref not even letting anything go?
Right.
And the fouls weren't that like egregious to me that deserved a yellow card, and especially for it being a first offense.
I thought Weston McKennie's was, but the Tyler Adams one, not Tyler Adams. Who was the first one?
Dest.
Yeah, Serginho Dest one. I was like, how is that possibly?
Yeah, I thought both were not yellows, but that was a quick.
But certainly, that's like the beginning. You're like, hey, I'm not gonna let this go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, everybody,
so,
captain.
So when those calls were made, and it felt early on, especially in the first half, that the U.S. wasn't pretty much getting any calls, and if they were the calls that they were getting were yellows on them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then I think his bias switched against Wales.
Maybe he noticed
Wales got a yeah. That's what I mean. He kind of evened it out.
Yeah.
Evened it out. By the end of the match, I'm like, oh, he's just a bad ref.
There were still a couple. Wales should have more yellow cards, without a doubt.
Sure. Yeah.
They were.
But I do think it was even out. And I do think the penalty call was the right call, unfortunately.
I agree as well. Like, should the U.S., I believe, only had one shot on target, which was the goal. And the fact that they couldn't create chances is yes, frustrating, but they also weren't scoring many goals in the past couple months either. So that's what I expected. I expected this from Wales. I knew that this is. This
I mean,
is
they played exactly how we expected them to play.
It's just a boring ass game. They barely had possession.
It's a boring ass team, bro.
And that's why the U.S. should have won. They should have found a way to get a second goal. They could not. But they not only could they not find the goal, but they couldn't really even find another good chance that was similar to the one that you know, the goal from Tim Weah.
And look, I get that there was all, like, really eight of their players were in the box, and they basically started eight defenders, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that it's difficult to break them down, But here's the thing that frustrates me the most. The way we play this, you know, passing the ball around that sort of the flank and the ring, trying to draw somebody out, is built to play against this type of system. So I'm expecting it to have a bit more success.
It is not built to play against this kind of system.
Go ahead. All of a sudden, you're a football scholar. Tell me why it's not built to play against the system.
Okay, so we've played this way against teams that don't play, like Wales.
I need you to give me a little bit. Elaborate,
so
please.
So what is it about the style of play that can get through 5-6 defenders in the box?
Because when you have players that are making those diagonals, runs, when you have players that are coming out and receiving the ball, the plan is to try to draw one of a low block defenders out to create space. Literally what we're doing, they were in a low block.
And they were not drawn out. Okay. They allowed those crosses.
I'm not saying it's built to beat this type of system.
That's exactly
saying,
what you said.
It's play. This is the type of play. This is the type of way you play when you have someone on a low block. You keep passing the ball around until one of them make a mistake. Now, granted, they didn't make a lot of mistakes.
Right.
But there were moments where we were where there was a little bit of space. The last thing you want to do, you have to hold. If you're going to play the style, and I'm sure you're going to correct me because now all of a sudden you're Marcelo Bielsa. but when you play the style, you have to have the ultimate amount of patience. All of a sudden, we're sending in crosses when there's four of their defenders and none of our guys. Two crosses went to the far post when we didn't have someone there. That's what I'm talking about. If you're going to do this and you're going to play this style, pass back and forth, hope to draw somebody out. You go in, I go out. You go in, I go out. You go over here. Now you go over there. Dest was supposed to be on the left. All of a sudden, he's on the right. When you're going to keep doing this, when you keep switching, you're hoping to draw somebody out. If you're not drawing somebody out, you just have to keep playing this way. You can't all of a sudden start sending crosses to nobody, especially when they've got
that
covered.
But that's how they play. That's how they play. What is the U.S.? That's how they play. They send in crosses. They're fast on the wings. They try to go 1v1 from time to time.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying, so if that's how they play, right? So the way they play, the argument I'm making is that the way that they play is not good against a team with a low block.
How would you suggest
against? So this is what I would suggest, and I think this is where they
because, you know, the one thing that upset people is that we didn't have a style, and Greg Berhalter has used the entire cycle to build this style.
I think Wales played us perfectly. They played us like, all right, we know your players, especially on the wing, are better than ours. So, you know what? Let's not play aggressively defending. Let's let some crosses in and keep the front of the box in front of the goalkeeper. Keep a lot of big defenders
right
there.
So this
is what they did wrong. This is what I would have changed, or at least
hope you're listening, Greg.
Took a bit more chance. They had no threat from the top of the box.
They didn't test the keeper.
They did not. They did not, because they only had one shot on goal.
One shot on goal.
They didn't take shot. I think Kellen Acosta maybe took one shot from outside the box that got blocked. Or I forget. There was one shot that I can remember that came from the top of the box. But when you don't have a threat at the top of the box, those central defenders will never come forward.
Right.
Because there's nothing for them to be threatened by.
I'm not going to – I mean, we're literally saying the same thing. I don't know how we ended up in an argument. We're literally saying the same thing. The difference that I'm saying is you're like, this is how they play. If you're going to play this style, you have to be disciplined. They were more disciplined than we were. They stayed in their positions. They didn't get caught out. We just all of a sudden, when it was getting frustrating, we just started sending crosses to nobody. And I wouldn't necessarily say that's the way we play. That's the way we play when we find advantages. We had no advantages when we were sending those crosses. That's not what you do. To me, that is a, you know what? I don't know, man. I'm not getting anything. Let me just send this and hope something happens. And to me, that's just as dumb as not playing it out of the back in the second half for the majority of it. It was so stupid.
All right. Okay. Well, I thought.
So who do you blame?
I
say Wales. The only thing they were better at is being more disciplined.
I expected this result. I expected a draw. I mean, after the first half, you're like, all right, we should probably win this game. So I don't really think there's anybody. Look, I'm gonna blame somebody because Walker Zimmerman caused the penalty when it probably didn't need to. But it's a very light blame because I think he did play a good game. I think he made a mistake, and I didn't really expect more goals. The U.S. has not really shown that in the last couple months. I thought the fact that they scored that goal and the fact it was just like from open play and it looked sharp, they looked confident. That was like they sort of peaked at that moment, but Wales they did the right thing. They just waited for their opportunity. And
so frustrating.
It's the U.S., it's a young team. They're still trying.
Let's be honest, if it wasn't for that penalty, they would have had barely, I mean, I know they had three shots on goal, but they have barely any chances outside of dead balls.
Right, right. So that, which is why I think the U.S. should have won that game. I would say Wales got lucky. That's.
I'm going to go back and say, repeat exactly what I said. I think the U.S. at moments looked absolutely shook. I don't think we looked fully prepared for the moment. Hopefully those jitters are gone. Okay, I mean, I know you're shook. Yunus Musa's manager, but kind of, I do. I've seen him go 1v1, and I've seen him
in CONCACAF,
and
bro.
In this shirt, I've seen him cross that line. I've seen him put those defenders on their back heels. I was expecting to see more. I'm sitting here wondering why it was such a tentative plan, and then all of a sudden it switched to this long ball, which was just so ridiculous to me. I mean, shouts to Matt Turner. He's apparently very good at it, but it was really, really stupid. I don't care if Haji Wright's in or not. That's not what you do. I'd rather see Haji Wright play off the back, play off the shoulder, make a turn, and find open space. The same exact way we scored, which is with Tim Weah. Shouts to Tim Weah for an absolutely incredible goal. So, all right, we take a point. What do you think is going to happen now?
I would say, I mean, we were talking about this afterwards. So we obviously have to talk about the results from the other game. England obviously beat Iran 6-2.
Why are we even talking about it?
Because
it was incredible. Shouts to you, but it was against Iran, and what a horrific collision between what I believe is the center back and the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was really
where they
bad.
Smashed both their faces together. Goalkeeper had to come out. It looked a little wobbly. I don't know why he stayed in. Somebody tweeted
it looked like
out.
He broke his nose to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, absolutely. They replaced it, but he was a little wobbly. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't.
I mean, he had blood all over his face. He
obviously had a concussion. I'm not a doctor, but it looked like what happens to a player when they get a concussion. So hopefully he's okay. He looked good to have to come out. But somebody tweeted out somebody being forced to work in something
conditions.
Whatever, it was a good tweet.
Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. Love the paraphrase.
Dude,
that
retweet that right now.
I mean, you all saw that banger.
look, Bukayo Saka with a brace. A lot of other players with goals. Shouts to every black player got a goal, dude. Shouts to all the racists in England. Yo, y'all struggling today, boy. Grealish is your dude, yo.
Look, I thought, it is Iran. I don't know if but after watching that, is it that Iran is very bad or is that England is very good?
It might be a little bit of both. But now England's going to have that false sense of confidence. They're going to walk into this USA game thinking they're going to beat us 6-2.
I don't think it's a false sense of confidence, but they.
Right.
But
you heard it here, folks. Christian's not a patriot, dude.
But I do think they're underestimating the United States. And after watching them in against Wales, I honestly think the result, it's not going to be 6-2. I know that.
Yeah.
But the look, a draw against England and then a win against Iran gets you in.
That's it.
That's it. So it's not impossible to get a result there.
We got to take at least a point, and then we got to beat Iran by more. Then Wales will probably beat them.
Yeah. Look,
it's actually not going to be an easy game for Wales, by the way, because they both kind of play a similar style.
Look, the hope is probably that Wales against England. You would want
you want Wales to.
I mean, it doesn't really matter which
draw.
One. Yeah, I
whatever. Yo, Wales beat them, and then we both get out the group,
yeah.
Bro.
I don't know. I think at this point you would want England to beat Wales.
England's got to take an L. They got six. They got four goals. Goal differential. They got to take an L somewhere.
Yeah,
they ain't coming against Iran.
I don't think Wales can beat England.
Don't forget how much territorial pride there is.
There is. Look, it's gonna be a derby. I know that, but I don't think they can beat them. I don't think they can. They're not going to get a point.
Dude, you hate America. I get it.
They look
it,
how
bro.
Terrible they looked against the U.S.
All right, you hate America. I get it, bro.
What are you talking about? Bro, I'm talking about Wales.
Get it out there now, bro. If you think Wales can't beat England, that means America doesn't get through.
No, I think England and the U.S. get through.
Okay. Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, of course.
But Wales has to take an L somewhere.
They against England.
Okay.
And a good result against, regardless of the result that U.S. England has, if they have a good result and a good goal differential against Iran with the point that they already have, 4 points, good goal differential.
Four points can get you through. 5 points almost certainly get you through. 6 points for sure get you through.
Yeah.
So if for some reason, I still think we can beat England. I know England is an incredible team, and I've said it before. Across the first 11s, there's not a player on England I take. There's not a player on America that I take over England across the 11.
There's not a player on.
What player from England, from America, would you rather take against England in the first 11?
Oh, right. So, and you're saying that there's no player.
No.
That, yeah, yeah.
I can't really think. I mean, maybe. No.
I mean, it's tough.
Matt Turner, you know, over Pickford.
Over Pickford?
Maybe, yeah. I'd probably take that. I'd probably take the goalkeeper. But that's probably, look, again, not saying a lot when you can't really say maybe McKennie. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, what you hope is that England walks into this game with a little too much confidence and America has a chip on their shoulder. And again, it's America versus England. We're undefeated against England. Hopefully that remains. If we, even if we
in
get
World
a point.
Cups.
In World Cups. Mm-hmm. Even if we get a point out of this, that's still a massive result.
It'd be a huge, huge result. Yeah, I mean, the
and if England, if Wales and Iran are 0-0, bro, that's even better.
Yeah, which it's not a crazy result. No, that might be possible.
They both kind of play a similar style.
Yeah, the I mean, but England did look great. Jude Bellingham was spectacular.
A class above everyone else, and yeah. He was 14 years old during the last World Cup.
Yeah, yeah,
incredible.
The
to Arsenal.
We also met. We met Jude Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham's sweetheart.
When we were in Germany, it was really cool. Yeah, we were waiting to interview Gio Reyna, and Jude came up to us. He was like, "Hey, what's up, fellas?"
I don't know if you saw what Gio Reyna tweeted or what he said in the press conference. Did you see?
I didn't.
He said, "I'm 100% been ready to go," which is, you know, player talk for the coach don't trust me.
Well, he didn't play in the game, and a lot of people
didn't even get come in as a sub, dude.
That's what I said. He didn't play in the game.
Okay.
Which it means he didn't come in as a sub.
Did you stub your toe or something before this interview, dude?
I mean, that's
what are you hate traveling?
Fairly obvious.
Wow.
Okay. Let's make a whale joke.
Do you want to give us a technical breakdown of how Gio Reyna would have changed the game?
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Am I being too nerdy now? What's wrong?
No, you're kind of being a dick. But anyway.
I mean, you repeated the same exact thing I said, so that's why I was pointing it out.
I was just trying to add on to it. Okay. Yes and.
But some people were bothered that he didn't play in this game.
Yeah, I would say everyone wearing an America shirt.
Yeah, it did. Look, Jordan Morris came in the game, and people weren't happy with that. Yeah. That decision to bring him over Gio Reyna. But I'm trying to understand Greg's logic, and there's a fast winger over a creative midfielder.
I would do the same thing, especially if I'm all of a sudden, you know, playing long ball, you got to have someone like a Jordan Morris.
Yeah.
He didn't get to touch the ball enough for my liking. But of the subs he made, I would say Haji Wright. Okay. I mean, looked good from the little bit I got to see.
Yeah, I thought Sargent was good, too.
Sargent was good, man. That moment where the ball was pinging around, if he would have been able to get his foot on that, man, it would have just been such a
good moment. Well, I believe he controlled the ball that – and then Pulisic ended up with the ball – to get it to Weah,
right.
I think, if I remember the play correctly. So I thought he did his job. You know, that was also a surprise.
Yeah, and also he looked in form. He didn't look like he was kind of wondering what to do. He knew exactly what to do. He was pressing well. He was playing well. He was connecting well. No, I was happy. I was happy with what I saw out of Josh Sargent and happy what I saw out of Haji Wright, who, you know, a lot of people, what, I think Alexi Lalas tweeted Haji wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
not during the game when he was quit. During the U.S. roster.
Oh, okay. I mean, that it doesn't
what are you
make
gonna
it
do? Send him another soliloquy about how to play the game here.
I thought that was that. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's not a great tweet.
I mean, he got his point across. I mean, what more do you want? He said everything he had to say.
Would Ricardo Pepi have made a difference in that game? I don't think so.
I
don't think so. I don't think at all. Yeah. I mean, look, there wasn't really anything going on for any of the strikers.
No. This, unfortunately, just adds a little bit more pressure to Christian Pulisic because he's one of those players where you expected him to do something. There were moments where he had the ball at, like, the corner top of the box where I'm thinking, like, oh, he's going to curl it. He's going to do something. And he kind of just kept connecting with other players, you know, similar to what you said about testing the keeper. I was expecting some things like that. It's a moment of brilliance, a moment of excellence, and I just didn't get it. And at the end of the day, it was just really frustrating because it was like there were so many moments where people were just pleading for something to happen, you know, pleading for you to get the ball closer to the net. Just get closer to the goal, dude. Just get closer to the goal. But we're playing it out of the back, and we're just moving the ball back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in our half. And it's like, all right, let's do this, but over there. We need to have a high line. We need to push,
yeah.
Push. And there was a tentativeness that I was not expecting.
So, yeah, overall, look, I'm not surprised. But if you told me before the game that we were going to get a point from Wales, I would have taken it. I mean, I think after the game started, my mind changed, opinion changed.
I wouldn't have taken it.
But I would have taken it.
The Dusty Wales.
Yeah. Look, frustrating, but there weren't that many chances created. And I expected that was going to be the type of game that we had.
Yeah.
So, all right. So look.
Let's talk to some people who were there.
Yes. FootMex Nation, the homies, Wisa Vasquez, Amelia Lopez are out in Qatar. They were at the game as well. So let's get their take. And also preview Mexico will be playing.
That's right.
Tomorrow. So we can, see how they feel about their chances against Poland. All right. Let's see what they got to say.
Here we are finally with, you know what? This is huge. We have people on the inside, bro.
Okay. Mm. We have, it's like an espionage team.
Our budget has gotten to the point where we can send people to Qatar. Shouts to these two homies out there with FootMex Nation doing their thing. Really excited. They got a chance to go to USA versus Wales so they can tell us just how dusty Wales was and why we should have won, bro. Keep it going. I mean, this is superstars. Do you want to do it?
Let's go. Shout out to Wisa Vasquez and Amelia Lopez. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Hello, hello, hello. It is almost 4 a.m. here, so that's just testament to how much we care about Christian and Alexis. Also,
you could have just stopped that at Christian.
Yeah.
No, Alexis knows I have a lot of love for him, but it's worth noting that I volunteered us as tribute to this way before we finalized our plans to Qatar, so Wiso is being very, very nice about this because I was like, you know what? I created this monster, so now I have to take care of it.
You make it seem like I don't want to be here. I'm glad I'm here, be part of the Cooligans. Like I've been on your show now like 3 or 4 times, so
bro, I might not be a Cooligan yet. Yeah.
That's it.
It's almost Cooligan.
So I want to do two things. I want to talk about the game, the US Wales match, and then I want to get some preview and prediction for Mexico Poland. So let's start with US Wales being there. What was the experience like at the stadium? And we probably don't have enough time to talk about the general feeling about everything in Qatar because I've been seeing some.
Said that they completely agree with everything that's gone on. So don't worry, we got you guys covered.
You're okay. You're big supporters. You loved the Gianni Infantino press conference. I've already seen all your tweets.
Yeah. but look, for us, it was a tale of two halves. Why don't you tell us what you saw?
Absolutely. I think, first off, and this is prefacing the fact that I also am in agreement that the U.S. should have won this game. Absolutely. But I think we were both really blown away by the Wales fans completely. I think they won the national anthem battle if that was where points started being taken place. I think the way that they felt, what a father and a son were right in front of us, and they were just super elated to be there. It was like their first World Cup and everything. So like you really felt that intensity, like, you know, like that is what the World Cup is all about. I know like Ecuador versus Qatar was kind of, you know, like, it was a little lopsided, but I think just like first impressions was the Wales fans and just like the way that they kind of like sung the national anthem, so to speak. Yeah. But then on the field, I think the first half, the U.S. should have kind of closed it out in those first 45
minutes.
That's
why I wanted the U.S. to crush the hearts of those little Welsh children.
Oh, that father and son in front of you, just leaving sad, deciding to become rugby fans.
Nice little daddy and son family ass.
You know what? You know, given as Christian, you'll be joining the club soon enough. But I will tell you, one of the first pieces of advice as a parent, from parent to soon to be parent, is you can absolutely laugh at children crying. It just depends on the circumstance. Okay,
you guys remember we come from Caribbean families, right? That's almost par for the course.
Okay, I'm glad, you know, we got that. We're talking about soccer, but we got some solid parenting advice in
Christian
there as well.
Christian has to learn to say, jeez, I'm going to hit you now until you stop crying.
It's the threat. The threat.
That's normally how it is.
So,
on my end. On my end with the game, I mean, as a Mexico fan, you're watching, then I go, I've seen this before. The U.S. come out just strong, dominating, and you know, in such a fashion that you're like, these guys are fast. They're finally clicking. And you just kind of sit there. You're like, this is what everybody's been talking about. You know, this is the team, and you're going there with Pulisic, that Pulisic run. And it just, everything was gelling. And just like, you start going, okay, what is this Wales team, like, come on, you can't put 2-3 passes together. It should already be 2-3-0. And you just kind of go, in the first half, we're like, well, you know, this is what everybody's been telling us about the U.S. We just don't want to admit it. They're this good. Like, they are. Now they're in the world stage, and they're this good. Halftime came around, and like you guys said, a tale of two halves. We're like, whoa, you know, where was that? Lines moved up. I don't know if it was a little confidence there. Berhalter not making changes that they needed to be done in the midfield.
But I think you said it too. McKennie was already getting injured in that first half. And then it kind of felt like that injury impacted them going into the second, because I don't feel like the midfield was as like fluid and solid against the Wales, who finally decided, oh, we can actually go to goal to score. Yeah. You know, that's how this game is played.
It was the respect that Wales gave the U.S.
I think if we shoot, we might score, dude.
It was interesting, and I think that was probably the exciting thing about the first half, was like Wales seemed a little bit intimidated by the U.S., you know, we're not used to – you know, I think because of the pandemic and not having many matches, not having many friendlies against teams in Europe or really just other parts of the world, the CONCACAF has been pretty intense the last 3 years, and I didn't expect the U.S. to go in with like that much confidence and be like, yeah, we're better than you, and that's why, like, we were talking about it earlier on the show, it's just they just should have won that game. I mean, there's no real excuse outside of the fact that Wales was just like, all right, look, we're gonna do everything in our power to just simply not let you score and play the most boring game of soccer we can.
Yeah, and it didn't work out for, you know, when you plan the game, it was so much respect that they were giving the U.S. were like, hey, if we hold them back, we're tall, we're strong, we're disciplined, I think we can make in that first half. Then the second half came in, and credit to the Welsh, to Wales, because, you know, they went for it. They're like, hey, we might get scored on again. I even tweeted it out. I'm like, is Wales even going to try to gamble, or maybe just get a 1-0 and it's going to come down to whatever goal differentials or however it is. But I think that's when we all said, all right, you know, we're going to go forward. We have our star up front. If we could just work that midfield. And there was a good 10 minutes where I was like, the momentum is kind of going there. Berhalter did. There's a good 8-minute pause with killing the momentum. And I thought that was it. I'm like, all right, the U.S. did it. It's happened in Mexico and U.S. games where Mexico gets like 5 minutes of momentum and then the 2-0 comes in and the 2-0 chance start. So I'm like, I've seen this before. Wales are going to try to do well. And then a 2-0, and you almost saw it, you know, it's another counter. But Wales coming back, you know, 80th minute plus another 20 minutes. And then you're like, wow, you know, it could almost been 2-1 if it wasn't for a late foul that was definitely needed by the U.S. It was wow. And it's an eye opening to the fact that you need coaching. And I don't know if that second half was lost by Berhalter, kind of waiting for two, you know, changes. Or the players, what's going on? Pulisic didn't look all that well after the, like, it looked like the second half he was, and I don't know if there was something there, some knocks, but a totally different team where you're at the World Cup. You know, you can't, you know, you can't. It's almost like the first half of that Honduras game.
Okay.
It's like the first half of that Honduras game. Like, you got to flip it almost.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they're just sitting back. And we've seen this before, I think, with the U.S. where, the young team, that's where that experience comes in. We're up 1-0. Let's do that. So, you know, but it's not the end of the world, I think, for U.S. fans, at least with a tie.
I agree. It's the second best option is to take 1 point, you know?
Yeah.
What do we think about Mexico versus Poland coming up? It's going to be a tough match. Poland, you know, plays relatively well in Europe when they get the opportunity to. Lewandowski's last shot at a World Cup here. What are your thoughts?
We just recorded a Mexican soccer show, and we were actually talking about it. I think that this is my circumstantial answer, given what we just saw from the U.S. and Wales, right? And it's obviously it's completely circumstantial, because if the U.S. would have won, it would have been like, look at these young players, look at the fight, right? But because they ended up tying, kind of, you know, their own mistakes leading them to this, you know, only receiving a point, I kind of think, well, if that kind of randomness can happen in a World Cup, which we've seen time and time again, you know, maybe despite all the obstacles and all the dysfunction that the Mexican national team has had, maybe the fact that these players have been in a World Cup before might serve to our advantage. You know, maybe they'll be like, you know, not confident in like, oh, we can do this, we've been here before, but more like, oh no, we understand the pressure that comes with being in this position, with, you know, Ochoa was saying it, the media being against us, you know, the fans hardly believing in us, you know, like they'll kind of step up to the plate. And so with that, I think, you know, we've surprised people before in a World Cup. You know, there's the part of me that is that, right? That we've surprised people before, but then there's a, you know, the person that has covered the team and followed them for the last couple of months. It's like, I just don't see it. And those two, you know, kind of like thoughts are kind of existing in this moment right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, my
scenario is,
you know, a couple of people were asking, our thoughts on, you know, how Mexico would do. I think leading up to these, you know, the friendlies that they had before the World Cup, Raul Jimenez coming back and, you know, hasn't played club football in months. I honestly don't see Mexico winning one game. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way. I don't know if that's thinking if that's too dark or too stark of a prediction.
I
want
to agree, but they also beat Germany last time. You know what I mean? I'm saying you never know what can happen.
You're on the kind of right track there, because I think I have a theory of like, when does Mexico really play their hearts out? Guerra. They don't show it. And the intensity's been a problem with Mexico teams, because I always feel like Mexico is, do we really need to win this game? The only games we got to win is against the U.S. And the Gold Cup finals. And I always feel like we've been telling these players, come on, take your shirt and put it back. Mexico does show up, because it's like the only time that they have to. Was a Gold Cup, yeah, it's important, but until maybe the final against the U.S. And the two finals against the U.S., I felt like Mexico was dominating, and then, but bam, the U.S. just did their game and they won. Qualifiers, it's really hard in qualifiers, regardless of where you're at, especially the Azteca, everybody back, they just want to get the points. And I feel like now with the World Cup is, these players are like, all right, this is it. Now we really have to go all of it. That's the hope. But Tata being Tata is very conservative. And what I've been saying before is, I think it's going to be very boring of Mexico, but somehow they're going to make it through, kind of like Tata did with Paraguay. Not exciting football. Mexico gets second in the qualifiers in CONCACAF qualifying. You know, they make it to a final. They get exactly what they need to do in order for him not to get fired. I feel like you're going to make it to the next round and out of the group. But tomorrow, I think it's high scoring goals for Mexico because of the defense. And then Poland, I hear it's not, doesn't have the greatest of defense. So I think we could get a win, but again, a tie isn't horrible. Yeah.
But to your point, Christian, I could also see them losing.
Like, yeah,
I could see that. Like, I could just feel validated and like, you know, valió madre.
It wouldn't surprise me if they won or lost, shockingly, because I like what Wiso said, which is true. It's like,
and that's the Mexican.
That's been the last 4 years for all of us.
100% you know surprised.
No, because
if they win, I'm not surprised. If they lose, I'm not surprised.
These players might show up.
It's a very Mexican
against European competition. They might show up all of a sudden. And it's not like Poland is like a world beater either. They might be able to take points. But then if they get bossed all around the pitch, I'm also like, well, yeah, this is kind of the Mexico we've seen the last year and a half.
I just think from last World Cup to this World Cup, Mexico, it's just been such a contentious 4 years. You know, when we interviewed our close personal friends, Carlos Vela and Chicharito Hernandez,
I forgot we hung out with them.
You know, and everybody saw us, you know, chatting it up. The vibes were great.
Just powwowing.
They were just like,
we were speaking Spanglish with them.
I was talking to them. I'm like, man, what was wrong with Mexico? What happened with Mexico and the federation?
Everyone was like,
you know, I think there's this is what I think is the biggest problem. Like, maybe just psychologically, and even when we went to the Azteca, we were there for 3 minutes before people started chanting Fuera Tata, right? It's just like when you're actually there in Mexico, it's like
it's contentious.
The Mexican fans hate Mexico more than the U.S. hates Mexico. That seems to be.
They feel like Everton fans. Like no one hates you more than your own fans.
You're competing against yourselves. That's I think.
So I think that's where. Yeah, I think the difference is that the fans that are here at the World Cup, it's not only my team, it's like they're on because everybody, they're going to go crazy. They're you know, that's one thing that you can go, okay, if Mexico starts losing, if it's, you know, then we're a little worried. But I do feel like that's one thing that we've heard from the fans. And I've asked like 25 people to give me like, hey, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to, like, everybody's just here. Like, let's all come together, at least for the team. Let's do our part. So they don't blame us that, oh, it's because we don't have the FEC on next to us, whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the atmosphere is going to be great, but the team needs to show up. And yeah.
So what we'll see. About?
I think it's a very different situation. No, I was just going to say that I think it's a very different situation from 2018 because JCO was also a very mad scientist, right? Where he was so set in his system and what he believed was the right way to go. But he kind, aside from the 7-0, he kind of had the evidence to back him up, right? He was top of the table for qualifiers,
beat the U.S., Honduras.
Yeah, so. You know, just kind of had all these different accolades that kind of formed for him. Whereas Tata, to Wiso's point, right? These important matches that he's had, they've fallen, right? Against the U.S. in Leagues Cup final, against the U.S. in Gold Cup finals. So it's a lot of like, all right, I guess we're going to respect you as a manager because you're also set in your ways, but we're not playing super good. And even though we happen to stumble upon a second place in the qualifiers, what are we really doing? You know, and it feels that way even in that friendly against Sweden, where I think you tweeted it out. You know, like, this is the team that we have, so either they show up or they don't, and we're just kind of stuck in this existence of, like, if they do really well, you know what? We actually had good players, and if they do really bad, well, you know, that's what we have.
Yeah.
So
my last question.
It's a very Mexican way of just
my last question is, I think you tweeted this out about that somebody told you or that you were sort of hearing that fans want Mexico to lose every game so that the federation makes changes. What can you expand on that at all?
It's kind of like this mentality, and you know what, it goes along with it. We need what happened to the U.S. to, you know, 4 years ago.
Okay,
you didn't go to the World Cup and now you have a great team.
Well, no, they just tied against Wales, so is that okay, really
good? Well, this is pre
I'm like, why you want this?
Something. We need a, you know, and I was talking to Amy about this. I feel like only in football and soccer and maybe just Mexico do we want really bad things to happen, and we think that because of those bad things, then good things are going to happen. True, it could happen, right? It, you know, people get fired, but I never hear like you know, as a Suns fan, I was never like, I hope they lose all their games so then next year the manager gets fired. And then, you know, I feel like it only happens in soccer where like bad, because, or I'm not going to go to the games. But there is some truth to that. People are upset, and people are upset at the manager, people are upset with the corruption. And if you take away the money, then, you know, changes are going to happen. I just go, the same people are going to still always be in charge and going to go. I don't think a lot's going to change, but at least cultural change is where everybody, I've never seen more people going into a World Cup mad at a coach than Tata Martino, and taking, you know, players like Diego Lainez, who everyone's, you know, he might not be playing, but he scores goals against the U.S. in the Nations League, you know, or Bebote, who's the top leader scorer in Europa League. Those two guys are out.
Yeah.
And everyone's freaking out about it, you know, and Tata has his ways. He's like, nope, I'm going to give seniority. I'm going to bring Piojo Alvarado, who's a better player because he can play a nine. And where everyone's just like, all right, you know, you're doing everything. That why we're not getting to that fourth, fifth game is because of you, Tata. That's how the fans feel.
Which I feel like he does. And I feel like while it can be slightly hyperbolic to be like, no, we want him to crash and burn, we just had this argument on the Mexican Soccer Show like a week and a half ago where I go, I do think there's some substantial feelings in that, because after JCO decided to step away in 2018, right after Russia, he just kind of like, you know what, thanks, and we're done. It was a great run, blah, blah, blah. you know, we had this kind of illusion that the next coach is going to come in and really take this team to the next level.
Like every 4 years.
I mean, yes, but there was, right. He had just come off. You had just come off winning with Atlanta, blah, blah, right. Oh, here comes this foreign coach who has this really cool system. And so there is some type of evidence to like fans feeling slightly underwhelmed when we're kind of satisfied with ugly. If all of our satisfaction will be ugly playing enough to get out of the group stage, we're right back where we started. So where was really the advancement?
Yeah.
And how much pressure is it going to be for Tata, whoever comes in after this World Cup, if you don't even have to fight to qualify? So it just leaves everything in limbo, where you do kind of wonder as a fan or just as somebody that covers it, where is that motivation to change and be better going to come from if the same people kind of stay?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, now, look, the biggest difference from 2018 to 2022 is that Chicharito will be live streaming on Twitch. So he's going to be great. He's very entertaining. Love watching him on there. Can't wait to see the content.
And I guess my last question is, yes or no, is there a quinto partido for Mexico?
No.
No.
Because there's going to be a
16.
They even replied.
7.
They even replied in Spanish. So you know it's serious.
U.S. U.S., Mexico in the semifinals. I think if it aligns right and we go back and we, you know, revenge for 2002. And yeah.
Okay.
Love it. I'd sign up for it right now.
Amy, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your time in Qatar. Get some sleep. Thank you so much for staying up so late. All the Cooligans fans are appreciative as well. So yeah, we'll keep up with you guys in Qatar. I know. Yeah, hopefully we'll chat again during this tournament.
And
so
keep the great social media content coming.
Y'all the best. All right, have a good night, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, FootMex Nation, Weeso, Amy. You guys are the absolute best.
Go make sure you check out FootMex Nation, the Mexican soccer show, for everything covering Mexico in this World Cup. They are the absolute homies. In English.
Yeah.
They
got you covered. Second and third gen.
So show them a lot of love. All right. The shouts to them. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on the second episode, the Cooligans World Cup Daily.
Right,
we're bringing these to you every single day after match days for the World Cup. So
we're in Atlanta right now, and we're still doing it. We thank you so much to Wiley Hotel for letting us use the suite to film in. This was really, really cool of you. So everyone check out Wiley Hotel if you're in Atlanta. It's a really dope spot.
Dope spot, yeah. We're serious. Gorgeous, gorgeous hotel.
Beautiful hotel.
Exactly. So make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels, especially our Instagram stories. We're doing a lot of stuff. The watch party, you can see a lot of fun clips. Took a lot of photos with fans. You know,
they all came out, dude. We said we were gonna be in town, and it was just a line of people saying, "Yo, can I talk to you?"
Atlanta showed
up.
Yo,
take a picture with my kids, bro.
Yo, we took pictures with people's kids.
Oh my god, especially after I swore, it was a lot.
Yeah, after he was scolded, we took photos with the children.
I had to sit in the corner with one of the kids, and we both cried and apologized, and then we got back in. We good, bro.
But we had an absolute blast in Atlanta, and always have a blast doing the show. So yes. Thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody in Atlanta, for coming through. We appreciate y'all. We will be back tomorrow with another episode. Obviously, a lot of big matches. Mexico will be playing Poland.
Bro, it's the daily, bro. It's the World Cup daily.
France against Australia. There's four matches. That's the first four-match window.
We will be up at 5 a.m.
So it's obviously, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Poland, Denmark, Tunisia, and France, Australia. So we're going to be recapping those matches. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.